Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Bless your green ocean, bless your river sky, your streams and your valleys, your mountains so high. Bless your gods and goddesses, Buddha, Sikh, and Jay. Jesus, Allah, Yahweh, we praise your many names. We speak a thousand languages, we speak with the same tongue. Bless our planet, a new one sky, all the people on it. We all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. Bless your vibrant cities, bless your sacred ground, your hillsides and your forests, and bless your tiny town. Bless the winged ones that fly, bless the horse and bear, elephant, the dolphin, the cricket and the hare. We speak a thousand languages, we speak with the same tongue. Bless our planet, under one sky, all the people on it. We all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. Bless our planet, under one sky, all the people on it. We all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. The river is a story of ebb and flow, and the rains that come and go. The ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. A woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. Ebb and flow comes and goes, round in a circle, and don't you know, the river is a story of ebb and flow, and the rains that come and go. The ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. A woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. Ebb and flow comes and goes, round in a circle, and don't you know, the river is a story of ebb and flow, and the rains that come and go. The ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. A woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. Ebb and flow comes and goes, round in a circle, and don't you know, the river is a story of ebb and flow, and the rains that come and go. The ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. A woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. A woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. Ebb and flow,
ebb
comes
and goes.
Artemis of the silver bow and arrows formed of silver light, eternal maiden of the moon, beloved leader of the hunt. She stalks her prey, fleet and fast, with quiver hung across her back. The hunt, her power and her bliss, when loose her arrows never miss. May I run with you now through the green forest glade. Grant me the honor to join in the chase. When the curve of my bow is the crescent moon, Artemis, guide my arrow true. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Lady of the wild things and forest nymphs running free, her bird is the majestic crane, the silver fir, her sacred tree. Goddess of the moon and hunt, running towards the morning light, she runs with lion, wolf, and bear, running free with unbound hair. May I run with you now through the green forest glade. Grant me the honor to join in the chase. When the curve of my bow is the crescent moon, Artemis, guide my arrow true. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Goddess of the raging seas, stirs the waves with a silver leash, and with a cry and mighty roar, she hurls them fast upon the shore. Moon maiden, rides the night sky in a chariot drawn by four white stags. She sets down in a hidden place and calls her maidens to the chase. May I run with you now through the green forest glade. Grant me the honor to join in the chase. When the curve of my bow is the crescent moon, Artemis, guide my arrow true. Artemis, guide my arrow true. May I run with you now through the green forest glade. Grant me the honor to join in the chase. When the curve of my bow is the crescent moon, Artemis, guide my arrow true. 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 Artemis, guide my arrow true.
Come to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. And yes, we are having a transitional podcast tonight. I have been using a landline phone for 10 years plus, and I am coming to you live via my Facebook main page, Selena Fox Updates, and I'm coming to you live on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, and I'm on a laptop rather than a landline phone. This is historic because I live in that part of rural America where we are not fully in the 21st century. Indeed, we have landline phones that drop calls, and we do not have fiber broadband yet. No internet by satellite, but it appears that I have the Facebook Live working. So thanks to all of you who are coming into Facebook Live, and let me know where you are calling in from, and if I'm coming through loud and clear. I want to give thanks to Jeanette and David Ewing, who have made the trek from Northern Virginia to Circle Sanctuary Land and my home next door in the forest in southwestern Wisconsin, USA. And yes, our station manager and engineer, they are here helping me with this transition. Not only is it a transition to using digital technology on a laptop, it's a PC, and I usually work with Apple products for 42 years. So I'm expanding my cyber connectivity. Jeanette's giving me good signs, sounding like it is coming through, even though we are on satellite internet, and I can see from comments coming through for Facebook Live that it seems this transition is happening. This is fabulous. Well, thank you all who are joining live and all of you joining later. And yes, I hope you enjoyed some of the music that we started the show with that gave us a chance to explore some more options to make this all work. So tonight on Nature Spirituality, I am going to share with you about spiritual journaling and magical diaries as a way of enhancing spiritual practice for personal healing, for growth, and fun. And I'm going to share with you some different approaches to spiritual journaling and journeying that you put in your journal. There are a variety of different approaches to spiritual journaling. I'm going to primarily be sharing my own experiences with different forms of spiritual journaling and magical diaries. And one of my favorite forms is the spiral notebook. And with the spiral notebook and pen, I am able to use this low-tech way and take my journal off to various locations and set down thoughts and feelings and ideas and processes, transcripts of rituals and meditations, charms, a whole variety of things. Over the years, I have done different approaches to spiritual journaling, but I'd say the most consistent one has been actually using pen and paper approach, because I've tended to do my work in places without the best internet. So this is a way that I can be able to explore things and remember things. I'd like to share with you several types of journals and different types of journaling. The dream journal or dream log or dream diary, this type of spiritual journal is something that you use to record dreams and to process dreams and to reference dreams. And out of the different types of journaling that I've done over the years as part of spiritual practice, this has been the one that I have done the most. Indeed, I started very early in life while I was still a child, and I was using this as a means to set down what was happening during the night. And As a result of doing dream journaling, I not only have strengthened my connection between my waking life and my sleeping life, but I have been able to enhance my recall of dreams. And that's one of the real powerful side effects of keeping a dream journal. As you continue to work with a dream journal, that stimulates dream recall and, even more important, dream understanding. And when you do the full circle of remembering dreams, writing about dreams, processing dreams, putting that dream guidance into action, you go full circle and you stimulate more dream recall. Most people have several dreams every night. Many people do not remember dreams because of a variety of different factors, but pretty much dreaming is part of a human's sleep experience. And over the years, more is known about the dream state. Rapid eye movement, REM is another way of describing that, has been linked to dreaming. But some more research has shown that some dreaming can happen when your eyes aren't rapidly moving. I have been interested in practicing dream work since I was a child and was able to not only sketch images from dreams, but note some of my understandings and transcripts of dreams. Some of my earliest memories of dreams happened in the first few years of life, and those dreams have continued to be with me, as well as other powerful dreams that I not only had, but that I did process with dream journals. Some of the dreams that I have had over time have actually been part of guiding me in my own spiritual path, connecting me with one or more forms of the divine. Yes, some of my alignments with divinities have happened as a result of a dream encounter. I also have come to understand different facets of consciousness in life. I do see that reincarnation is a really good way at looking at multidimensionality of consciousness in life. And in my 20s, I had a series of what I have come to term reincarnational dreams. The first dream of this type that I remember having happened shortly after I became the priestess of a ceremonial magical lodge named Strum that met in Madison, Wisconsin. Our ceremonial magical lodge worked with Egyptian pantheon, with Kabbalah, with ceremonial magic rooted in the Middle Ages, as well as with the Golden Dawn and some other Hermetic traditions. And I was selected as high priestess of the group because of some of my ways of practicing. I was still early on in my priestess life back in the first part of the 1970s. And in 1973, I had a very powerful dream and saw the cat goddess Bas in the dream. I had the dream while I was visiting family in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. I not only made note of the dream as part of the journaling process, but I followed up on the dream. I had seen myself connecting with Bast images, amulets from ancient Egypt that were stored in a museum. I went to the museum, made arrangements to go, got there, and actually ended up connecting with one of the curators of the Egyptian collections and went to a part in the non-public part of the museum and actually saw and held the objects in my dream. Now, I don't have dreams like this all the time, but I can tell you as a result of having already developed a dream journaling process as part of the spiritual journaling part of my spiritual life, it really helped me remember, connect with it, and then after having such a powerful experience, I had the opportunity to also do some more processing about this. As a result of alignment and reconnection with BOST, I've continued to be doing work with that form of the divine and have had rituals and meditations come to me in dreams that I have journaled about, and some I have turned into actual meditations and rituals that I've shared with others. I have the Goddess Communion Handbook that I did back in 1988, and some of my experiences working with Boss, the Cat Goddess, came as a result of things that emerged from that dream many years before. I also have had some experiences with sacred places that I've considered reincarnational. And there is a series of sacred mounds in Wisconsin, and it's now a state park. These mounds are preserved, and it's known as Aztalan. I had what I believe was a reincarnational dream. I woke up from the dream, I made some notes about that dream, and I had seen a map in the last part of the dream and got a map of Wisconsin and put my finger along the map to the place that I had seen in the dream and saw the word Aztalan and got what I would call insight sensations in myself, or some people will say they're chills or whatever. When I had that happen, I knew I had to go see this place and do some more research. And that was in my early days of being in Madison, Wisconsin. And by that time, I was Priestess of Spectrum, and I was having a chance to do work with that group on a regular basis. And our whole group actually went out to Aztalan to explore that site. And while I was there, I had some additional connections with that place. In fact, when Aztalan got some additional protection and support as a prehistoric site, I became a life member of the Friends of Aztalan. These are just a couple examples of things in my own life which has really led to a fuller understanding of myself and dimensions that I've connected with. I use the concept of reincarnation because it makes sense for me. And yet there's also some people who talk about multiple lifetimes, parallel lifetimes as part of their way of describing various things. So what can you take from this story? Well, dreams may bring you some really important information about yourself, some other dimensions of yourself that you haven't fully connected with. And dreams, too, may be able to give you guidance for day-to-day life. The very act of taking, even if it's only 5 minutes or so out in the morning, jotting a few words down, making some sketches, that is the beginnings of dream journaling. And one of the real powerful ways of doing dream journaling is to have your pad of paper and pen. And why I like the spiral-bound journal books is that I put my pen right in the spiral binding. That way, in the night, sometimes I'm writing in the dark in the night, and sometimes I am getting up and staying in a meditative state and going into a different room with very low light conditions so that I can actually write down the transcript of the dream. It's a really powerful way of getting to connect your waking life, your waking consciousness with other dimensions of yourself. And the more that you do dream journaling, the more likely you are to become good at remembering dreams, processing dreams, getting guidance from dreams, and putting the guidance into action. I also see that dream journaling is a way of developing intuitive perception. In addition to being aware of what you're experiencing as a dream is happening, and in some cases, being aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming, that's called lucid dreaming, can really deepen your connection with the dream when you get a sense of you're dreaming and you're empowered to make choices in the dream, then you actually develop a kind of empowerment that can carry over into waking life. So dream journaling, I highly recommend it. And you don't have to spend a lot of time with it, jotting a few words down, making a few notes, asking yourself the question, what guidance do I take from this dream that I've had? Now, you can go and do really in-depth analysis of dreams. And if you really like to get some more information about really processing dreams, interpreting dreams, getting guidance from dreams, I did a whole podcast series called Divining Dreams, and you can access that in the CSNP archives at our circlesanctuary.org website. Go to our CSNP archives and look under Dividing Dreams, and I talk about lucid dreaming and dream journaling as well, a much more in-depth look at that, as well as ways of incubating dreams, bringing about a dream. So we have the dream journal as a kind of journal. Another kind of journal is a personal diary. I also started doing personal diary work very early on in life and actually got my very first diary and even had a little lock on it, tiny key. So in my early years of life, shortly after I began knowing how to write and read, I started keeping a personal diary, writing down not only what happened to me during a particular day, but some ideas that came to me as a result of my writing about experiences and processing feelings. So diary work, and generally diaries are done as a personal kind of reflection and processing. And many people see diaries and journaling as synonymous. I'm using journaling for our spiritual journaling explorations tonight in a much more universal term, including lots of different forms of journaling. So the diary piece, what are you feeling? What has happened? What are some solutions? All of that can be really helpful. Most people prefer to keep their diaries private and not share it with others. Some exceptions to that, both with a dream journal and a personal diary or spiritual journal, one is doing reflections. If you are involved in doing therapeutic work with someone, you may want to share it with your counselor, with your psychotherapist, with someone who does spiritual mentoring for you, because there may be things that are happening in your therapy, when you're working with a mental health professional, in your spiritual life, when you're working with a spiritual mentor, that show up in your dream and show up in your daily thoughts and processes. And that can also go full circle to help you get greater insight and understanding. Another form of spiritual journaling is writing down your spiritual exercises, experiments, meditations, inner journeys, magical workings, rituals, and to put it together in a particular place where you are noting down what you did, when you did it, why you did it, what happened, and results, and your learnings from that. So here again, it's a kind of journaling, but in this case, you're chronicling your spiritual life, specific spiritual activities that you are doing. As someone who's involved in nature, spirituality is my own form of religious and spiritual and philosophical practice, I see that dreams, diary, and the keeping track of what rituals, chants, meditations, visions, and other things that I've done and have experienced all are part of a continuum. In more recent years, rather than having some separate diaries, which I kept, a diary for personal daily stuff, a dream journal for what happens during my dreaming part of life, and then a list of all of the different kinds of activities that I'm doing spiritually, I have throughout my life done those three types of journaling and kept them separate. But at this stage in my life, and I'm in my 70s now, I tend to put everything in one book. And part of that is that there's a real intersectionality with these different forms of processing and growing spiritually, and it's a good way to keep things together. There's a fourth type of spiritual journaling, which is related to the other three types that I've talked about, and that is the ideas journal. If you have an inspiration come to you, you get an idea for something, you're planning some type of journey. It might be a physical journey, or you're going to do some research on your ancestral past or some other practice. You might get ideas come to you. Well, I could do this, I could do that. And as you get different ideas, it can be really helpful to jot them down. So at this stage in my life, I put those within my journal as well. How I am able to separate those four types of practices within one journal is to give title to each type and to also include the date for each. So within a particular day, I will put the date at the top. If I've had a dream, I'll put dream, and I'll give my dream a title, and then I'll write the account of the dream and processes, what comes to mind as I think about it, and a message. And then if I get some ideas later on, then I will put ideas or brainstorm, and I'll put that down. If I am sorting out some stresses and trying to learn from some things that are challenging, I'll make a note of that. And I have done all four types of journaling all within a particular day. And I just separate. I usually start a new page for each type so that I can have a clear understanding of where the dreams are, where the ideas are, where the ritual transcript is that I have put together and have experimented with, and my own kinds of processes. There are a number of different terms being used for different kinds of spiritual journaling. So the word log, it can be a daily log, a dream log, a ritual log, an ideas log. You can use diary. You can use journal. All of these can be used interchangeably, and I've used them interchangeably. But there are some terms that have more specific rather than more universal definitions. And one of those is the grimoire. The grimoire is a book of magical operations. So charms, rituals, meditations, invocations, chants. In fact, some grimoires have been around for hundreds of years and have gone into publication. Part of how we know about some ancient practitioners of magical spiritual ways is from the magical diaries, the grimoires, the magical workbooks that they've created. And some have been in print in multiple languages and have served as a form of knowledge for practitioners in the current day. So a grimoire is a particular kind of journal, and it is one that has formula in it, and it often is shared rather than kept privately, but not always. So it's a particular kind of spiritual journal that I call a magical workbook or a magical diary. Some traditions in Wiccan religion and related forms of contemporary paganism and other forms of nature mysticism and spirituality have a particular name for a spiritual journal known as the Book of Shadows. And this is a book that has rituals in it and experiences of rituals. Some call their Book of Shadows the Book of Light and Shadows. It's kind of a variation on the name. Some Book of Shadows actually are more a tradition and are passed on. And one of the traditions when a book of rituals is passed on is to copy the book in one's own hand. Now, this was much more commonplace in the 1960s, 1970s, and even into the 1980s or so, as computers started becoming more of a thing for people being able to set things down electronically. There's been a variety of different additional options. Back when floppy disks were being used more commonly, people started talking about their shadows. So they would put all their rituals on a disk. And now we have even more digital forms of spiritual journaling as a whole and magical journaling in particular. So some of the things that I have done to expand my spiritual journaling in the magical realm is to photograph altars, to photograph rituals that I have done. Often I will have someone, if I'm in a group ritual and everyone's okay with photographs being taken and photographs being shared, and that's a whole nother piece regarding digital journaling. But I do think it's important to protect privacy, your personal privacy, but the privacy of others. Because although in many parts of the USA and in other countries, it is very well known that they're magical practitioners, it's accepted, not everywhere in the world is there that kind of freedom and acceptance. And so it can be dangerous to have a magical journal in one's possession, to be making one, to be working with one, even possessing a book created by someone else, can cause some concern in some parts of the world. So yes, there's still people not embracing the magical diversity that exists, not accepting it, and actually actively persecuting people. So witch trials and witch burnings and witch hangings and all of that, certainly there was a lot going on hundreds of years ago, but it has not been extinguished from planet Earth, unfortunately. And I am thankful for human rights groups that are stopping the anti-witch and anti-pagan rhetoric and actions in various parts of the world. But there's still more room to be done there. So in terms of magical journals, part of the magic of journals that have survived generations and gone across cultures and gotten into print is the fact that they've managed to survive. You have to make some choices yourself regarding not only magical workbooks, grimoires, Book of Shadows that you are creating you personally, but things that are entrusted to you. If someone sharing a journal with you has willed it to you and then they pass on and you get it, well, it is a really good idea if you're going to be the caretaker of someone's magical work life in the form of a spiritual journal. If possible, have conversations with that person before they pass on to find out about the privacy factor and what they want to be done with that by giving it to you. By giving it to you, are you to keep it private? Are you to publish it? Are you to share it? Is it your discretion? Some people want their spiritual journals, especially if it's a magical book, a book of shadows or a grimoire, they want it buried with them. And indeed, at Circle Cemetery, which I helped start many years ago, we have some people who've chosen to have their spiritual, their main spiritual journal, magical workbook, buried along with their remains, and this form of ashes being buried in the ground or full body burials. We have both at our cemetery as well as the ashes being scattered. So those are some things to think about, not only for yourself and your personal preferences and inclinations with what you do with your journaling, but if you have those that are going to pass things on to you to get some clear understanding from them about what the options are and what you might do. So I talked a bit about photographic journaling, and I love taking pictures and have been taking pictures since I got my Kodak camera back in when I was 9 years old. So I find taking pictures is a form of journaling. Yes, I take pictures for a variety of ways, and I was a commercial and industrial photographer when I was in my 20s, and I continue to take photographs for a variety of purposes in a variety of different ways. But I find digital photography, especially now that most smartphones will have a camera on them, it's a way to be able to document a journey to a place, to document things happening in day-to-day life. And in addition to still photos, we can do videos. And so I think that in addition to the written word, we should take a look at other kinds of journaling as part of our explorations tonight. So there is photographic journaling, there is video journaling, and then there's journaling using artistic expression. And this can take the form of doing a sketch, or for those that feel really called to be more elaborate and to actually do a painting based on such, it's another way of chronicling inner space and daily life. In addition to these forms of journaling where you are taking photographs for yourself, doing sketches and other forms of art for yourself as part of your way of chronicling and processing inner life, and videos as well. Then there is the sharing of these forms with others. And some people will blog, and so they're not only journaling for self, they're sharing their perspectives, their understanding, what's happened to them, the reactions out in cyberspace, in the blogosphere. I like taking photographs and sharing them, as well as having photographs that I keep personally. So Instagram is one of my main ways of being able to share various photographs. And it's an art form, but it's also a kind of journaling as well. And I find it really fascinating to be able to go back and look over photographs that I've shared with others all in one place through a device and an app. How amazing is that? Another form of journaling is recording music. Music you have played, music you've created. I like creating chants and working with them as part of my practices. And so in addition to making notes of new chants in my regular, my all-purpose universal spiritual journal, I also have ways of recording chants. I'm using a voice memo app on my phone, or doing a little video of them and sharing them that way. So as you can see, there is a wide range of ways of journaling and different forms of expression that can all fit within that. What I'd like to do now is share with you some pointers on doing spiritual journaling. These are some questions that you may wish to focus on as you are considering enhancing existing journaling or starting a journaling practice. What is the focus of the journaling that you seek to do or to enhance? What is the focus? Is it more universal so that you have a journal where you put many types of expressions of your inner life? Accounts of dreams, brainstorms for a project you might do, working through some joyful experiences or some hard experiences, being able to chronicle a ritual that you've created and performed and what you experienced from that, chronicling a spiritual experience that you had with others, be it as some online gathering or now that in-person gatherings are starting to happen in more places around the world. So what is the focus? Is it an all-purpose journal, or will it be really specific, such as your journal of Sabbath rituals, how you are celebrating the seasons? Second, what is the time that you will be using the journal? So there are some different approaches to journaling. Some people journal daily. It's part of their daily practice. And I tend to be a daily journaler. That said, sometimes I wake up, I process a dream, And I actually act on it even before I write about things. It might take a day or two before I set it down. I do try to put my dreams down shortly after I've had them to make sure that I get the most details and understandings about it, and while it's fresh in my consciousness. But sometimes I will do that later. So it might be a daily practice. Or if you aren't quite at a point where you can incorporate a daily journaling practice, then you may do it once a week. And you might do it once a month, such as at noon or full moon, or you may journal every year on your birthday or some other special day. There's also the form of timing with journaling that I call spontaneous, and another form that I call sporadic. At times, I am a sporadic journaler, and part of that has to do with what's happening in my life and how many things I'm juggling. And I'm also a spontaneous journaler. I do my daily practice usually in the morning, shortly after I get up. But sometimes things come to me during the day, and I will get that journal and spontaneously write down inspirations, flashes of insight. I also have used my journal when I've taken part in conferences, and I've been in conversations with people. I've taken part in sessions. I've presented sessions. In fact, when I pre-pandemic, when I was doing a lot of traveling and speaking in various conferences and festivals and doing workshops in a variety of places and rituals, I would use my journal to write down thoughts for a presentation that I'm doing, making notes of things that have been stimulated in my own imagination as I've encountered others, had discussions, flashes of insight. So think about incorporating journaling into your daily life. How are you going to focus on how often you do it and what the setting is? I think it's really helpful if you have a particular time in your daily routine if you're going to be doing daily journaling so that it's attached to something you already are doing regularly. And I've trained myself to actually be able to hold dreams in my consciousness and then get to a place with better lighting and where I keep my journal and actually write down a fuller transcript. But here again, there's lots of variation with all of that. A third piece is, where are you journaling, and journal in the same location? It can be helpful just as having a particular time or framework for doing journaling, that you also have a particular location in a way of creating a sacred space. You're strengthening the connection in your consciousness with that place as well as the time. And that helps stimulate your journaling motivation to do it. A fourth thing is, where do you keep your journal and who has access? Even if you think that you have some privacy, if you really are opening up about some very deep things, you may want to figure out a way to have it very secure. Some people not only have a little lock on a diary or journal, some people actually put their journal in a locked drawer. Other people, that's not an issue. So part of it depends on your living circumstance. Who else is around? What's the trust level? What are the boundary keeping and respect processes going on? Some people will do their journaling instead of being in a handwritten journal form. will include it on a phone or on a computer and will secure the file in some way. So if you are going to do some security around your journaling and really want to protect it privacy, make sure you have good understanding of how that works and how you can access it. Another thing to consider as you do journaling work is, how will you be using your journal? Yes, the actual immediacy of doing the journaling work is its own practice in of itself. But I see it's really powerful to create, as part of your journaling life, a time where you look over what you've journaled. Some people will do a review of their journal entries once a week, some once a month, or once a Sabbath for those who are celebrating the equinoxes, the solstices, and the midpoints between. So here again, it's a matter of personal preference. Why review your journal? Well, you're making a record. You're documenting yourself and processes, and you have it as a reference. One of the reasons that I have developed the practice of putting a date and then giving the entry a name, a title, be it a dream title or ideas about a particular project, it helps me with referencing, that I'm able to flip through the journal and look at my dreams for the last month, for example. What are the common patterns? Are they happy dreams? Am I constantly meeting challenges? Am I running from something? Am I exploring new spaces? You will be able to enrich your dream life by looking at patterns in your dreams. You'll be able to enrich your ritual life by looking at patterns and experiences with rituals that you have done and written about. You will be able to enhance your meditation skills by looking at imagery and sensations and experiences that have come to you over time. So it can not only be a way of personal review and assessment, but it actually is another full circle of connection. You have done journaling, you've set things down, but you continue to grow and evolve. We are all on the journey. So it's a way of looking back at yourself in time and space and be able to see how you've grown and to not only identify patterns, but get some inspiration about your future work that you may be doing. And I do think it's important for those of us who have been doing journaling quite a bit over our life, is to be able to have our journals in a place where we can access them through time, life review, when we may be nearing the end of our life, being able to go and look at our journals, or if we have some physiological dynamics or psychological dynamics going on where we have a caregiver, the caregiver, with your permission, can go through and help refresh your memory. Life in review, as one completes an incarnation, not only can help at that transition process, but it really lays the groundwork for what is yet to come. And it really can help us integrate what we've experienced. Memories can be really good over time, but being able to reactivate memories and to strengthen and expand memories through the use of journals is really an important thing. So where to go from here with virtual journaling? I'd like to share with you some examples of specific kinds of things to journal about and some techniques for doing so. So you have gone out, had your day, you might be in school, you might be working, you might be helping someone with something. You come back to your home and now you're going to do some journaling to help record what your day has been like and to help yourself work through what you've experienced. If you found yourself really stressed, you may need to just do a centering before you do the journaling. You don't want to add stress to stress. So taking deep, slow breaths, centering yourself, creating a sacred space around, and then putting the date and what the focus of journaling is, daily life, writing what has happened today, listing the different things that have happened. What have my feelings been today? What is left to process as a result of one or more of these feelings? What have I learned from today that I can incorporate in daily life? These are all things that you can use to process your daily residue, your daily experiences. If you are going to be writing about a meditation, and it's a meditation that someone else has guided, it might have been listened to on a recording of some sort, or you might have had a live experience where somebody's guiding it live, or maybe a podcast like this. Yes, sometimes I guide meditations as part of my podcast. So what the basic format of the meditation is, as much as you can remember. We journeyed into a forest. We journeyed into atop a mountain, or we're down by the seashore watching the waves. We give a bit of a discussion and a description of what you recall from the meditation itself, and then do an account of your meditation. I experienced myself walking along the seashore, and I felt a connection with the ocean, and the ocean emerged as a great mother, as in the form of a mermaid, and she gave me this symbol. She gave me this word. I had this sensation as I encountered her. I gave thanks. I continued on my way and felt blessed from the experience. So you write what the meditation is. You write what you're experiencing with meditation. And the last part, I think, is really perhaps the most important. As you reflect on the meditation, what you did, what you experienced, what does it occur to me now to take from this experience into my day-to-day life? And you might distill it down to a word or a phrase, or it might be an action item. So that is an example of a way that you can work with a meditation. If you have a ritual that you've created. Okay, I blessed my home. I went clockwise around each of the rooms with incense and chanting, and I put a magical emblem above the hearth to represent blessing the home and be a home guardian. Okay, written down what you've done. Then make a note of five dimensions of consciousness. What did you experience in your physical body as you were doing the ritual? What thoughts were flowing through your mind as you were doing that? So the body, earth, thoughts, air. What was my energy like? Was I enthusiastic? Was I full of vigor? Or was this something I was very mellow about? What are my feelings? Was this happy? Was I neutral? Was I all over the place? And spiritually, how was I connecting with it? Was there a particular resonance with a form of the divine that happened as I was doing the ritual? So doing a look at those five dimensions, body, earth, mind, air, stamina, energy, will, fire, emotions, feelings, water, soul, spirit. And something else that you might want to do is to have a journaling session in which you look over your journal entries for a particular period of time, let's say a week. So you're looking over each of your entries for the past week. Then you would start your journaling week in review, journaling week in review. What patterns did I notice? What were the things that I need to do some more work with or more process about? Where can I grow with my journaling? And give yourself an action item. You may want to create a meditation to be able to envision yourself at the different points doing the journaling and as part of your journaling in review and see what guidance comes to you from that. Treat your journaling process with respect. Be sure you sort out who has access, your privacy, confidentiality issues. And like any spiritual tool, magical tool, give thanks for your journaling process and for the journals that you have. So I am hoping as you have spiritual journaling with me tonight that you have gotten an idea or some inspiration to enhance your own spiritual journaling life. And for those of you who are on Facebook Live, I invite you, if you wish, to give some feedback about what you found helpful for this. And if you're listening to the audio podcast on CSNP, then I invite you to do an email to me if you wish, selena@circlesanctuary.org, and mention the name of the podcast and what you've gathered from it. I am very thankful for journaling being part of my spiritual life, and I'm hoping that you will find some good ways to enhance your own way of reflection and process, inspiration and transformation with journaling in your own life. I give thanks to our podcasting team, David and Jeanette Ewing, who are here with me tonight, helping me do some new technology to bring podcasts to you. I want to give thanks to them and to our whole podcasting team. In addition to David and Jeanette having Moon Magic, we have Laura Gonzalez, Deborah Rose, and Char Bear, who are also podcasters. You can find out more about all of our podcasts at the Circle Sanctuary website, at the CSNP schedule that's on the front page over there in our archives is a separate section. You can find that as well at circlesanctuary.org. And for those of you on Facebook, if you haven't already done so, go to CSN Podcast like the page, follow that page, because there you get information, notifications about our various podcasts that happen every week and throughout the month. Thank you all for tuning in, and happy spiritual journaling. Bright blessings.
Hear a song of time gone by, the ancient ones are calling out, and they say, song of old, and their words will carry us home, and their song will carry us home. Hear a song of time gone by, the ancient ones are calling out, and they sing a song of old, and their words will carry us home, and their song will carry us home. Hear a song,
the ancient
one of time gone by.
They call you home.
The ancient one,
they call you back.
Are calling out
to the ancient ways,
and they say,
the ancient one,
sing a song of old.
They call you home,
and their words. And their song,
they call you back,
will carry us home
to the ancient ways.
Hear a song,
remember now,
song of time gone by,
the ancient ones,
the ancient ones,
remember now,
are calling out
the ancient ways,
and they say,
remember now,
song of old,
the ancient ways,
and their words
deep inside
will carry us home.
Your memories
and their song,
it's deep inside,
will carry us home.
Your memories,
hear a song,
the ancient
song of time gone by.
They call you home.
The ancient ones,
they call you back,
are calling out
to the ancient ways,
and they say,
the ancient ones,
a song of old,
they call you home,
and their words,
the ancient ones,
will carry us home.
They call you home,
and their song,
the ancient
carry us home.
They call you home,
and their words,
the ancient ways,
will carry us home.
They call you home,
and their song will carry us
home. Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.